Joshua chapter 7, verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And he never should have done that. God warned the Israelites that everything was to be destroyed except for certain valuable minerals that were to be put in the Lord's treasury, but no one was to take anything from that city of Jericho as spoils of war. 2. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Haven, on the east side of Bethel, and spoke to them, saying, "Go up and view the country." And the men went up and viewed Ai, which there's nothing wrong with that. Sending out scouts in advance. Not going to rely on their scouting report. You're not going to rely, hopefully, on the arm of man, but it still is a good thing to do your homework, even when you're trusting God, which unfortunately, I don't think they're going to do. Verse 3, and they returned to Joshua and said to him, "Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor there, for they are but few." In other words, we can handle these guys. Now, we don't need much help. We don't need many soldiers. We'll just take care of them in a hurry. And the thing that is noticeable to me is the absence of God from their conversation and their plans. It's not at all like it was with Jericho. It's almost as if they think, "Yeah, this is a small town. We can handle them by ourselves. We don't even have to pray to God for this one." For so they went up there of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. So they got their tails whipped. They were trusting in their own strength, in addition to another problem, as we will see. 5, and the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even to Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Now they don't know what hit them, but they certainly are discouraged because they didn't plan on losing any battles. They don't know what went wrong. Verse 6, and Joshua rent his clothes, fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. So Joshua and company are mourning, and they're in absolute shock and humbling themselves before God. And verse 7, Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God, wherefore have you at all brought his people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelled on the other side Jordan." Well, that's stupid, to be honest with you. For Joshua to complain that God should have just left them on the other side of the Jordan. Because Joshua knew better. God had warned that if there was disobedience among the Israelites, he would not be with them. So instead of saying we should have stayed on the other side of the river, we should have never came over here, God, you should have never allowed us to do this if you were going to just let us get destroyed, he should have been on his face praying, "Okay, where have we gone wrong? Because otherwise we wouldn't have lost." 8, O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns their back before their enemies? In other words,
what am I going to tell the people? We just lost. Well, what shall I say? What he should say is, someone has sinned. Or we've done something wrong someplace. We better examine our conscience. That's what he should say to the people. Verse 9, for the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us round. In other words, surround us and cut off our name from the earth. And what will you do to your great name? So he is really running with his thoughts now. He's almost into paranoia. We're going to get destroyed. Our enemies are going to be emboldened. And the whole thing is going down the tubes. Verse 10, and the Lord said to Joshua, get up. Stand up, in other words. Why lie you thus upon your face? Rebuke. Joshua is kind of lost it here. And God says, get up, will you? And he continues, Israel has sinned. And they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. That's why they got beat. And that shouldn't surprise Joshua. He should have figured that out himself. 12, therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their back before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore, except you destroy the accursed from among you. In other words, you know what, Joshua, everything you said about your enemies being emboldened and about you guys being completely defeated, you are absolutely right. That's all going to come to pass unless there is repentance here. And so God says in verse 13, up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of you, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. That's what you need to tell the people, Joshua. And Joshua, again, should have known that's what was going on when they lost the battle with Ai. There needs to be repentance. 14. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord takes shall come according to the families thereof, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come by man by man. So God's going to do this in a process, sort of a slow process. 15, and it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burned with fire, he and all that he has, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has wrought folly in Israel. There's no room for folly among God's people. There's no room for carelessness among God's people. God has a way of judging his people that sends chills throughout the rest of the camp or the church, whatever the case may be. Verse 16. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. Okay. God has winnowed it down to one tribe. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarhites, and he brought the family of the Zarhites, man by man, and Zabdi was taken. He continues to whittle it down. 18, and he brought his household, man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. So God got it down to one man, in the one family, in the one tribe. And why did he go through this process? Because Achan knew he was the guilty party. And he's doing it slowly because I think, anyway, it's my opinion, that God has given Achan time to think about this and to repent and to receive forgiveness before his wrath falls upon him. Verse 19, and Joshua said to Achan, My son, give, I pray you, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession to him, and tell me now what you have done. Hide it not from me. He's been exposed. He's been confronted. He might as well confess. And that's what giving glory to God means. Confess that what you've done is wrong and that God is righteous in chastising the nation because you broke the law. You broke the law. You brought trouble on the entire nation. You brought defeat with your sin. And that's the way it often goes. Our personal sins often affect others around us in a negative way, as well, of course, as God. 20. And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. Well, good for him. He confessed. You say, yeah, well, sure, he confessed because he was confronted with his sin. That's the only reason he confessed. Well, true. But the only reason any of us confess our sins, if you think that you confess your sins out of the goodness of your heart, you got it wrong. You confess your sin because the Holy Spirit convicts you of the things that you do that are wrong. And those who are lost sinners and who finally come to Christ, if anybody thinks that they came to Christ because, you know, somehow they were superior, they're wrong. They come to Christ because the Holy Spirit, again, confronts them with their need of a Savior, or they're going to hell. That's why people repent. That's why people confess, not just Achan. 21, when I saw among the spoils of the goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent in the silver under it. A lot of good it did him. What good does it do to take these things if you can't spend them, if you can't use them? Well, number one, what good does it do to take them when it's disobeying God? You know you're not going to benefit from it, and he certainly didn't. But it began with coveting. He looked on it, he liked it, and he took it. Should never even coveted. Should have stopped right at that point. 22, so Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and behold, it was hidden in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them to Joshua, and to all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And the evidence is laid out to prove that Achan was guilty, and God was righteous. 24, and Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold and his sons and his daughters and his oxen and his asses and his sheep and his tent and all that he had, and they brought them to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why have you troubled us? The Lord shall trouble you this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones to this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor to this day. So it wasn't just Achan, but evidently his entire family was in on it. And if they weren't in on it, they witnessed what happened. Achan was the one who was punished. He was the one who was stoned, but the family witnessed it. They had to watch it happen. They watched the execution. And so did everyone else.